Praise the Lord. Let us turn to the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. Praise the Lord. We've already studied in the 4th chapter. We saw the overcomers of this church age already in heaven with the Lord, sitting on thrones. And it plainly tells us in chapter 5 that those overcomers, the living creatures and the 24 elders, are those that have been redeemed out of humanity, out of you people. They are not some kind of angelic beings that nobody knows about. And we've had that lesson already, and we see them all through the book of Revelation. We see the four living creatures and the 24 elders. They are sitting on thrones with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are different groups in this kingdom of the Lord Jesus. And today we're going to study about the 144,000. And we had a little segment of them. If you look over and hold your place there in chapter 14 and go back to chapter 7, and beginning in verse 4 through verse 8 of chapter 7, we saw that the Lord had sealed these people, 144,000 in verse 4, of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now we know that in the tribulation time, these people are from these 144,000 that are yet living then during that time will be here on the earth, and they will be great witnesses for Christ. In this portion of scripture, in the 7th chapter, verses 4 through 8, it gives us that there are 12,000 out of each of the different tribes of Israel. It skips one tribe, I believe it's the tribe of Dan, and gives us another one of the sons of Joseph in that place. We don't understand why that, but we do know that it's a scripture and we believe it. So we're going to ask the Lord to help us to understand what I'm going to bring today. And let's just bow our heads and ask him to open it to our spiritual eyes that we will understand. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God, which is so real and so powerful. Father, thank you that you are the one that wrote this beautiful scripture. You've allowed mankind to make it real as a book for us. And the prophet, the apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation as he saw these visions and of things of God. But we praise you for that, Father, that we have it today. And as you said in the first chapter, blessed are those that read this book, that study this book. It's a blessing to us because we have little insights of what is going to happen into this world. And we ask you to anoint this word of God this morning that we will understand. In Jesus' precious holy name, hallelujah. There's a group, and I'm going to tell you this again so you understand this, and I'm sure most of you do. There's a religious group in the world today that say they are the 144,000. That's the Jehovah's Witness group. They are not of God. They do not have the truth of God, and they are not of the 144,000 Jews. This scripture here in this 7th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 4 through 8, is very, very specific that 12,000 of these people will come out of this tribe, of this tribe, of this tribe. And if you talk to one of those people that come around to your house sometimes, you'll find out that they're saying, oh yes, we're going to be the 144,000 in heaven. I asked a man one time that came to my house, I said, I thought that you were saying that the 144,000, there's more than that over the period of time of Jehovah's Witnesses. There's many more than 144,000. He said, yeah, that's right. It's all filled up now. I said, well, what are you going to do then? You can't get into the 144,000. Besides that, we opened the scripture and I said, look here, out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Now the tribe of Reuben are 12,000. And I said, none of you are Jewish, so what's going on here? You know, my grandson was there that day, just a child. And his son, the man's son, was there. And when I said that, the man's son said, "Where is that found?" And he stuck his head around, and his father said, "Get back, get back." He said, "We're ready to go, goodbye." He didn't want his son to find out that he was teaching error. So these pitiful people that take something completely out of the Word of God and say, "Okay, we're this 144,000. And as you read here, you'll see, notice in verse 4, the latter part of the verse, "And 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." We're not part of that group. Today, there are people that are no doubt preparing to be part of this group over there in Israel. You know, it's amazing to hear of the missionaries that go over there. I get mail from them often about people that are getting born again of the Jewish nation. And these people are going to be great witnesses for Christ. During the tribulation time, these people are going to really be preachers of the Word of God. And it's going to be a marvelous thing. So now, turn in your Bible to the 14th chapter, and we then have more understanding about the 144,000 and what they are and who they are. All right, in this 14th chapter, we see verses 1 through 5 about this 144,000 of Israel. They are actually the third rank of the church. They are part of the church of the Lord Jesus. They receive Jesus as their Savior, and they go forth as ministers during the tribulation time. And some of them have already passed away and been with the Lord. We believe that believers of the early times when Jesus was here on the earth, like the 12 disciples, do you remember what he told them? He told them that their place would be in the kingdom of God. He said, "I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's Matthew 19:28. And from that scripture, we believe that is going to be true. They are going to be part of that 144,000. And no doubt other Jewish believers of the first part of this church age. You remember that the 12 disciples, they were missionaries, but they didn't believe the message of grace like Apostle Paul did. I think maybe they got a revelation of it. But Apostle Paul, who was not one of the 12, then became the apostle of the church age and went to the Gentiles to spread out the Word of God. And so just before the Antichrist is slain and rises from the dead, we have those charts that I gave to you. Some of you have those. You can see that at the tribulation, there is first the overcomers go to heaven. Then after a little while, the great innumerable company goes, and that's in chapter 7. They are seen there with their white robes and things, but they don't have crowns and they don't sit on thrones with the Lord. Then you go on. Now we have this group, the 144,000. These people will be here on the earth quite a ways into the tribulation. They're going to be the evangelists. They're going to go all over. Now, I'm talking about the ones that are alive at that time, not the disciples. The disciples will still be in the Lord, but the power of God will be on these believers who will go forth and preach the Word of God. So the Antichrist is going to be slain and rise from the dead about 250 days before the middle of that 7 years of tribulation. And these believers that make up this 144,000 that will become great witnesses in the earth, they will go to be with the Lord in heaven before the Antichrist comes up. Now, the Antichrist will be here before the tribulation starts, but we won't recognize him as the Antichrist. If we're not gone to heaven by then, we won't probably recognize. We may have, you know, these thoughts about, "Oh, he acts like he's the Antichrist," but we won't know for sure that. And so about 30 days before the tribulation, It looks like that's when the Lord takes the rapture of the overcomers that are watching and waiting for Christ. Then a little bit later on, he takes up the great innumerable company, as we see over there in chapter 7. They come up into heaven. Then now a little bit later on into it, he's going to have these 144,000 Jewish believers. And when they are taken up to heaven, they're going to have a very special place in the kingdom. Now, I read that to you a while ago, and I'm going to read it just once more, that the Lord Jesus told Peter when he and one of the others came and said, "Can we sit with you on your throne?" And they said a bunch of things. And the Lord said unto them, "Verily I say unto you that you which have followed me in the regeneration," in other words, regeneration means being born again, have received Christ, "when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So that time will be during the, after the tribulation is over, you all realize the scripture says Jesus Christ will reign 1,000 years. The earth will be renovated, and the people that are on the earth will all be the believers. Others will have died. You remember, part of the believers are not going to heaven. They're going to be on the earth. They are during the tribulation. They will suffer a lot. Many of them will be martyred, but many of them will be preserved that came to know Jesus after the rapture, after the believers have gone to heaven, see? And so, praise the Lord, this group of people that believe are the 144,000. And praise the Lord. Let's start reading in chapter 14, verse 1. He said, "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion." All right, that lamb, you see how it has a capital L? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the Lamb of God. And we know that, don't we? Don't everybody here, do all of you realize that he is the Lamb? Now, what was the Lamb? The sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. He's paid for our salvation by his own blood. Well, he's going to have these different people groups. There's going to be a bride for Christ that we already talked about, and later there's more about that. But there also is the great innumerable company of believers that will be going through trials and tests and into part of the tribulation. And then there'll be this 144,000. So this Lamb of God was standing on Mount Zion. Praise the Lord. I don't want to get into that just yet because I have some notes that I want to read here. But let's look, first of all, let's go to the 25th chapter of Matthew. Hold your place here in chapter 14, and let's go to the 25th chapter of Matthew. You know, Jesus liked to tell these parables. A parable is just a story that Jesus would tell, and they all had significant meanings. And this parable is in the 25th chapter, beginning with verse 1, talks about the 10 virgins that were going to come to the marriage supper. Now, remember that we have already studied here in this meeting about the marriage supper of the Lamb in chapter 19. And these people that we're reading about right here, these virgins, are actually this 144,000 of Israel. Now notice, as he tells them this story, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Now, the 5 wise virgins are these 145,000 of the Jews that will come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, some of them in the first part of this before the church age really got to going in the very beginning, the disciples and different ones like that, and then in the tribulation time after the 2 ranks are taken up, then this group will be taken, okay? And let's read on. "There were 10 virgins." This shows their different than the world. They are, these virgins in the olden times would go out when the bridegroom was going to come. Sometimes it'd be the middle of the night, and the virgins would hear the bells and the clanging on things and all the stuff they would do, and they would walk out, and the bride had to be ready over there. Now, the bride would often have her virgin friends around her there, but in this case, we're reading the virgins, the 10 virgins, took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So that's like this group we're talking about. They will not really come into the understanding of what's happening in the tribulation, the ones that come out of the tribulation, until a little time goes by into that tribulation. They will, some of the Jewish people that will be involved will have lamps, but they don't have any oil in their lamps. They're not really dedicated and consecrated to the Lord and have the Holy Spirit in their life. And so while the bridegroom, that's speaking of Jesus, tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So they're not going to be in the first company of people who leave and go to be with the Lord. But at midnight, see, that shows later on in the tribulation time when it gets dark. Midnight is a dark time, and it's going to be very dark. There was a cry made that said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him." Then all of those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." See, how do we buy the things of God? We don't with money, do we? We buy the things of God by faith. And if they would go, then Lord would provide for them. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, said, "Lord, open it to us." See, this is a parable showing us, and verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So these virgins are representative here of these 144,000 during the tribulation time that God will be dealing with them and getting them ready to rule and reign in the heavens with him. And then on the earth, they're going to be reigning over the 12 tribes of Israel on the earth. I think that's a beautiful thing. In the 19th chapter, verse 9, the word says there, "Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb." So that's the case right here. The 144,000 will be guests at the wedding, as well as the Old Testament saint believers in the Old Testament that we read about. Notice that they were virgins. That means that these 144,000 that are going to be in this group are people who are very dedicated to God. They are not of the world. They're not. They don't have wrong things in their lives, as we think of a virgin. So, going on now in chapter 14, back to Revelation 14. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying. Sometimes when we haven't heard something, some of you may not have heard this before. We don't understand the first time, but what I'm asking you is to listen and then think it over and pray about it and read it at home. And God will open up your head, your eyes to see this. Notice that in verse 1, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. He is standing here to greet these beloved people that are going to come up in heaven to be with him. He's greeting them. He's like standing there, greeting them as they come. And he is the Lamb. They recognize him as that. In Hebrews 12:22, you don't have to turn there if it's hard to find for you. So just let me read it to you. This is a verse that says, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into an innumerable company of angels." Now, Paul was preaching to Jewish people in the book of Hebrews. That book, why it's called Hebrews, is because it was sent and designated to the Jews. Okay. And so here is Jesus standing on Mount Zion. Now, that doesn't mean he came down on the earth and he's going to stand there at Jerusalem. That's not what that means. But spiritually speaking, Mount Zion is the dwelling of God, the dwelling of Jesus. He'll stand up from his throne, and he will speak words that will cause this 144,000 believers to be taken off of this earth. They will go into that first part of the tribulation, as I said, and they are going to be witnesses, great witnesses for the Lord among the Israelis. They are going to be wonderful preachers of the Word of God. And it's just going to be a marvelous thing. But God will protect them and keep them safe and bring them through that. Praise the Lord. And notice what it says, "And with him was 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead." That's interesting that it says the father's name is written on their forehead. Well, the Jewish people have always worshipped God. I mean, the ones that are religious, they worship God. And that, no doubt, is why that says that way. His name and his father, and another translation actually says, his name, speaking of Jesus, and his father's name. So they belong to Jesus, too. That's what they're preaching. But they will have the Jesus' name and the father's name written on their foreheads. And he says, "I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." So there was great praise went forth when the Lord came and brought this 144,000 up to heaven. Great praise goes forth in heaven. No doubt in these people, the 144,000 praising and worshiping God, but also the ones in heaven already, the bride of Christ and the great innumerable company all rejoicing that these are coming up to heaven. I like that where it says the harpers are harping with their harps. We like to say that when somebody keeps repeating something or trying to correct us about something, we say, "You're just harping on that." That's probably where this came from, that term of harping. Praise the Lord. The voice of harpers harping. That's what we expect people to do when they have instruments, is play the instrument, don't they? So these are singing and worshiping the Lamb. In chapter 19, verse 6, it says, "I heard the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunders." We can't imagine how it's going to sound when they come, and the great company that we saw in chapter 6, that are the second rank, we call them, and then the overcomers all worshiping and praising God for this arrival of the 144,000 in heaven. How wonderful that's going to be. They are going to be playing their harps and rejoicing. In chapter 5:8, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, it says every one of them had harps. If you're going to be an overcomer in heaven, you're going to have a harp. That's not the only reward that you're going to have. You're going to have a crown, too. You yield your life completely to God here in this life, and you get over there in that place, you're going to sit on a throne, and you're going to have crowns. You're going to be all around the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something to think about and to be willing to go? You remember when the Eliezer went to Rebekah and rode all of that way, 300 and something miles on those camels over to the other side where she lived, and got there, and he said, "Will you go?" And she said, "I will go." She had to ride that camel all the way back to get to the place where the Lord wanted her. But One of these days we're going to be there and all of heaven is just going to sing and rejoice when all the people of God arrive there in heaven. It's going to be wonderful. Isaiah 24:23, this verse says this, "Then the morn shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before the ancients gloriously." And that word ancient means the elders. So before all of, think of the Old Testament saints, Abraham and Jacob and all of them, that King David, all of them that stood for the word of God will be there in the presence of this time when the people of God from the church are all finally taken to heaven rejoicing. So notice in verse 2, "I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps." So don't mind if I harp on something. Praise the Lord. "And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four," remember the word beast is living creatures, really translated, "and the elders," there were 24 elders and four living creatures in chapter 5, "and no man could learn that song but the 144 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth." God is going to make it that way that when they sing a song, it's going to be different from all the other songs people are singing in heaven. Isn't that something to think about? That's interesting. And notice it says they were redeemed from the earth. When you see earth in prophecy, it's speaking of Jews. But we already know what the scripture showed us in chapter 7, that these are all Israeli people. I don't imagine there are 144,000 over there in Israel that believe right now, do you? I mean, there are missionaries going over there and there are people getting saved. Maybe they're going to be part of the 144,000. We don't know. But anyway, isn't that a beautiful thing? They will be taken up to heaven. Notice on your chart, before the Antichrist comes up out of death. Remember, the Antichrist is going to be killed. And he will be down there and the devil will enter into him and he will come back up alive and he will just be demonic. He will start really persecuting Israel and all the world to have to follow him. But praise the Lord, God's going to take these people out of there before that. Glory to God. And so they sang a new song, a precious new song. Praise the Lord. They have a special place with the Lord. Notice that word redeemed. They're redeemed. Glory to God. I think all of us understand what that means, that the price has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ for all people to receive Christ. Did you know that every person in the whole world that's ever been born since Jesus Christ died could be believers? He would make it possible that they would hear the word. And we believe that the message has gone forth in every kindred and nation now. That's what other people that study those kind of things, they believe that the message has been preached. So these were redeemed from the earth. The earth always speaks of the Jews in prophecy. "These are they which were not defiled with women." They are not defiled with, we could take the word women as false teachers, false groups. We know the false church is going to be called a woman. "For they are virgins," and that's in Matthew 25. They are the wise virgins that had the Holy Spirit in their life. They had the oil so that they could go out. "These are they which follow the Lamb." They follow the Lamb. That's what sheep are supposed to do. They're supposed to follow the shepherd, right? And our biggest problem in our life is that we don't follow the shepherd. We get off track and we follow something else for a while, very often, and then the Lord has to get us back, call us back, and get us back in the fold again. So anyway, praise the Lord. They are not defiled with women, but for they are virgins. "They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes." These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. So they are redeemed from the earth. Part of, as I said, we believe that part of them are those early believers before, right around Pentecost and before Paul's teaching came in and he began to deal with Gentiles more. And then the latter end when we're right here in this place. Praise the Lord. So notice in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. This is an amazing thing, isn't it? Because we know the bride of Christ is going to be without fault before the Lamb, before the throne of God. But these people, these are spiritual, dedicated into the truth and obedience to the Lord. And their speech is very, very beautiful to the Lord. What comes from their mouth is really a beautiful thing God has. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I wrote down, is this how we yield our life to God? Do we let our Lord, do we listen to Him? Do we truly follow the Lamb? Do we follow what He's telling us to do? Do we talk to the Lamb in Lamb talk? We're lambs. We're spoken of in the Scripture as the lambs. Our God's herd, the Lord Jesus Christ's herd. He's the shepherd. We find that throughout the Scripture, that He's the shepherd of the sheep. Praise the Lord.